Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What is going on, everybody? My name is Connor Lawler. Welcome back to another week of Weird News Wednesdays. This is the Heroes for Hire podcast. We are back again talking all the strangest news stories from around the world. We talk about the news that the real news is just too afraid to talk about. As always, I am joined by my best pal, Mr. Sean Mead. Sean, how's it going?
I'm great, Connor. I got everyone's Christmas presents sorted today.
Did you send out the Christmas cards to our patrons?
I actually did. They're on the way.
I thought I'd catch them out live on air, but no, look, that's fair enough. If you've done it,
really more of a behind the scenes conversation.
No, I was going to just do admin. Are we doing ad hoc duties here? Just that's it.
Oh, if only. I'm completely ad hoc duties according to my CV.
So, Sean, this is weird news. What do we do here?
You have spent the week gathering all of the weirdest news stories from around the world. You're about to read them all out to me, a man who has been too busy buying meaningful gifts for his friends and family to look at any weird news.
What did you get me?
I got you the worst mug in the world.
That's
and
true.
An action figure of Paul Dano's The Riddler.
If anyone missed our listener hangout last Saturday, it was absolutely lovely. You missed out on a good time. It was for the patrons and some of the listeners. We all just jumped in a Google Meet and just had a bit of a chat. But then we gave our Christmas gifts, and Sean gave me quite possibly the ugliest mug I've ever seen. It's literally hideous.
It's the Joker's smile from the animated series.
But it's not even round.
No, it's more of a oblong,
it's shaped like an egg.
Square. It's kind of an egg-shaped mug, yeah. Look, it'll hold. You could eat cereal out of that thing, though. It's massive.
I will not bring that downstairs. that won't be going in the kitchen.
Oh, that lives in the upstairs of the house, I see.
So, Sean, we got to get straight into it this week because, I mean, we got some news stories and some of them are seen as a little bit strange, which is beneficial for the show, I would say.
That does line up with the title and premise. Yeah.
We're starting this week with a bit of a follow-up to a story we talked about a long time ago. And this was back in 2020, so I'm interested to know if you can remember this.
I think I blocked that out, to be fair.
Yeah. So Outback Pub emus are rediscovered after being banned from the hotel 2 years ago. Sean,
vaguely.
The emus have returned.
I vaguely remember. The emus invading the hotel, yes.
A pair of celebrity emus that vanished after being banned from an Outback pub for bad behaviour have been rediscovered and they've brought back up, Sean.
They've brought the boys. They've brought the cousins in.
Took 2 years, but they're back with the crew and they're not fucking happy. Yuraka is a small red dirt town with a population of about 20 people, Sean. That is the population.
Okay, people to emu ratio. probably not great, I would say.
Not fantastic if a civil war breaks out, is what I would say.
When would that ever happen, a war between humans and emus in Australia? What wild circumstance would ever cause that to be real?
So it's 2.5 hours south of Longreach in Queensland, to give you an idea. And so it has a church, a police station, a caravan park, a school, and what every Irish village has, a fucking pub.
Oh yeah, just the one. Just the one pub.
Just the one. Normally in a village of 20 in Ireland, you're having at least 16 pubs.
Usually, generally. Yeah. I was in a village. It was up like Mount Leinster, and it was literally a road was the village, but there was two pubs, a post office, and a sweet shop.
Well, I mean, how else? What if I wanted to fall out with one of the pub owners? Where will I go, Sean? I'm not a fucking fool. I need somewhere else.
But even where does the pub owner drink on his night off?
Oh, very good. Well, I suppose free drink. Is that how pubs work?
I don't think that's how a successful pub works.
No, but what about one in debt?
You can have all the free drink you want.
Drink it all day, lad.
Just down in gallons of the stuff.
So this pub shot to international fame in 2020 due to its hardline stance against two strange visitors, Sean. We covered it on the show, seems like a long time ago, 2020, in the middle of the pandemic.
Hell yeah.
I think it was.
I think this is when we were still recording them just over the phone without even having Google Meet on.
Yeah, I couldn't even see your face. I couldn't see your reactions. I just had to guess if you were shocked.
Oh, and I was. Believe it.
You would say out loud, "Connor, I'm shocked." I would say, "Oh, I have them. Have them right where I want them." The Araka Hotel was forced to barricade the pub entrance in order to keep Kevin and Carol the emus out after they developed a taste for the taproom hospitality.
I mean, surely that's a reflection on how good your staff are, you know, that even the emus feel welcome. They might not speak the language.
But then what happens if they're rough? They're a rough crowd. Like, what if they're starting a few fights? If they're getting involved, maybe they're just being a bit creepy towards some of the people there.
A bit leery.
Yeah, a bit leery. You don't want people having a bad time in your place.
No, but what if... We're prejudging the emus here just because we don't understand their drinking culture.
The emus had been targeting tourists.
See, the locals will love them.
And pinching food, drinks and car keys and leaving behind a general trail of devastation.
Okay, so it's basically a stag do is what they have.
But they're always on a stag do.
They're always in stag mode. Yeah. I don't know the solution, though, because I don't know enough about emus to know, one, their natural predator, or two, what they like enough to lure them away from the pub. Because it seems like they want to be in the pub, you know?
By the way, this article has one of my favourite similes, in that it said, a full-grown adult emu can weigh up to 60 kilograms, okay? So I know what you're thinking. Sean, I don't know what a kilogram is. I have no idea about weights. I couldn't know. I need this in some sort of bird form. Another bird. So it's the same poundage, Sean. I'm going to answer your problems. It's the same poundage as 150 well-fed pigeons.
Holy shit. Imagine that descending on your bar.
But not non-well-fed. Like, I'm not looking for skinny bitch pigeons.
I don't know. I want fucking New York pizza, bagels.
Hey, I'm flying here.
Pastrami. Yeah, the most well-fed pigeons in the world. I want those ones that steal chips out of people's hands and run.
I want my pigeons swole. That's all I ask for. I want 150 of them in an emu.
If you set 150 pigeons against two emus, who wins?
Oh, how swole are the pigeons?
They're fucking massive.
Like fucking, like they've been hitting it hard, like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They've had some gains, Connor. They're absolutely yoked.
Well, if they're on the hard stuff, aren't they? If they're on the other stuff, like injections and stuff, I'm going to pick the emu. Or no, I'm going to pick the pigeons.
How would they do injections with wings, Connor? Think it through.
How would they lift weights?
Heavy feathers.
Oh, fuck.
Dip your feathers in lead, and then they're heavier, and now you're a jacked pigeon.
or dead.
No. I'm pretty sure lead poisoning doesn't affect pigeons.
I'm pretty positive.
Don't test that, please.
I'm a bird watcher on the side. If you consider the kind of mass one pigeon can cause, sorry, what the kind of mess one pigeon can cause, it stands to reason that the droppings caused by one well-fed emu would be something akin to a bombardment. Who wrote this?
It's very expressive language.
It's also very, it's very against emus, is what I would say. They've come hard. It's a hardline stance.
Yeah. And where's that coming from?
An emu killed her parents, I can only assume.
It has to be some kind of Batman origin story.
Yeah, probably.
What's an emu?
Leanne Byrne says it has to be Irish. Leanne Byrne. Fuck me.
I know so many Leanne Byrnes.
Leanne Byrne! There's about 9 Leanne Byrnes about 20 metres from here. If I just look outside, there's probably 20 Leanne Byrnes just wandering around.
You throw a stone in Ireland and you'll hit a Leanne Byrne.
Leanne Byrne says it was the back end blitzkrieg.
What fucking poets live in this small town?
They're Irish, Sean. You know what I mean? Yeah. The poetry comes out of you. So the back end blitzkrieg that pushed Kevin and Carol beyond the realm of cheeky punters and into full blown public nuisance territory.
Oh, but if you're patrons, like the humans that were at the bar, started shitting over each other, you don't call them a public nuisance. You call the police.
But I suppose in a town of 20, the police are also probably in the pub.
That is true. So then, are they just having the crack in the pub, and then the emu walks in and everyone looks at the police officer?
The music stops.
There are record scratches. But then the emu, he's really cool, and so he kicks the side of the jukebox, starts back up again.
Yeah.
Like the Fonz, guys.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I didn't get the reference.
You know the modern cultural experience, the Fonz in 50s? Happy Days?
Do you remember 70 years ago?
The Fonz wasn't 70 years ago, was he?
No, it might have been the 60s. 70s?
Happy Days. American sitcom. First set in the 1950s.
Oh, sorry.
But was on in 1974 to 84.
Okay, I do apologise. That's why the 50s was in my head. So Miss Byrne is known around town as the Araka Mother of Dragons.
What the fuck?
Which is a reference to Daenerys Targaryen in Game of Thrones, who hatched 3 dragon eggs.
Good search engine optimization there, this article.
Good stuff. Kevin and Carol were inside 2 of 9 eggs that were given to Miss Bird after some blokes discovered an emu nest while pushing scrub?
Pushing scrub? Like, because scrub
that's
is
gotta
like...
be a phrase that we don't know.
Pushing scrub, I think it's like pushing around dead wood and leaves and shit like that.
Okay.
Hang on. Pushing scrub.
Pushing scrub.
Safe search off. And... Double wings. This is polyester. What is this? Oh, hang on. There's a video. A Komatsu 475 pushing scrub. Yeah, it's breaking down little like shrubs and shitty little trees and grass by the side of the road.
Oh, sure, of course. I mean,
and this Komatsu 475 is doing fucking work. Let me tell you.
They haven't sponsored us, but we've fallen upon the greatest present that you can give to a loved one this Christmas.
This has 996,000 views. It's been up for 11 years.
People love Scrubs, man. Like, do you think people are looking for the TV show Scrubs? And they just, oh, he's reacted, what?
I went down to the comments.
Go on.
It was 4 years ago. Poor trees had no chance with the mighty dozer. 11 years ago. That's one hell of a dozer. Great footage. Thanks, mate. Sounds like you must have gotten it second hand off one of the mines around there.
What a weird backhanded compliment about my dozer.
I would pay money to do this, a man says.
You can.
There's so many fucking... The blade must be a load all in itself on a float. That's dozer talk I don't even understand.
You gotta be more clear. We're dons or novices.
Holy shit, there's drama. So, 2 years ago, someone says that's not a 475 Komatsu.
Oh, fuck.
That's a 375.
That's 100 less. I want to make everyone clear. That's 100 less.
It's so much less dozing per minute.
I want more dozer from my book. I don't want less dozer from my book, Sean.
Look, I'm disliking this video right now.
What was the drama? So if they commented that, did somebody comment underneath backing it up? This was 11 years ago. It's a different time.
See, I don't think replies were built into YouTube at the time. We could do major overkill, in my opinion.
Someone's not impressed. It's too effective.
Old 375, maybe. That's no 475, lol. Oh. And then the original poster replied, yeah. The old 375s only had one stack.
Oh, fuck.
I don't know what that means. Oh, someone said, this is not a 475, the original poster. Tell me what it is, then.
Oh,
that's
shit!
That's from 2 years ago. This man is still on this page.
Tell me what it is, then.
Everyone.
You know what that is? He got called out. He walked into the fucking place. He pulled his fucking dick out and just said, tell me what is that, right? This is it. This is what we're here for, right? You fucking tell me. I'm not backing down here.
You're fairly able to tell what it is. Tell me what it isn't, you know? And then Bob comments, that's a 375.
Oh, no, that's Bob.
Then this dude comments, what makes you think that, Bob?
Oh, fuck, Bob's after coming in.
Bob replies, 475 would be a lot bigger.
Oh.
And then this guy comes back with the party line, the old 375s only had one stack.
The party line.
Bob ends the conversation. Yeah, you're right. D375 came with an SAA D170 six-cylinder. And the 475 came with an SAA 12D140 V12, Connor.
What does any of that mean, Bob?
It's dozer talk between lads.
But me and you don't understand it. We're lads. I want to be part of dozer talk.
Look, I'm the laddiest lad there is,
Connor. I know that, Sean. I know.
And I'm fully comfortable engaging in dozer talk with anyone who feels
it. Look, if you bring up dozer, I'm in. Like, I'm into that conversation. Because for me, a dozer is just another home. A dozer talk.
Yeah. But what if... What if this became a dozer podcast, Connor, and I educate you on how to properly talk dozer with the lads?
I have to be honest with you, I still don't fully understand what it even looks like.
Oh, right. Imagine, right, hang on.
I don't want an image, I want you to describe it.
Okay. Do you know them big yokes in Avatar, what were clear in the jungle?
Oh, I'm with you.
It's like one of them, bright yellow, tank treads, and then a big... fucking Mr. Plough style snowplow on the front. But it's not the width of the dozer. It's like three times as wide as the dozer.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
How many stacks are on that?
Oh, this one. This would be one stack.
What, is it one stack or two stacks? I heard the three.
See, the old 375s had one stack.
Yeah.
Whereas this is the new 475.
Right.
Which has... one stack, but the new 375s have two, which means they're worse.
Bob, ring in, please.
Bob, please, we need your help.
I feel like this
videos.
Could be the end of our dozer podcast.
Oh, he has another video from 10 years ago. It's called Screening
right.
Gypsum. It's your standard JCB with a front loader on it.
I'm with you, tipping
some gypsum into a little fucking filter yoke runs it through a fine mesh.
I'd say that's ASMR.
Pure gypsum part. It's actually very loud on my ears. pure gypsum particles coming out the back of it. You want gypsum, I know a lad.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What's gypsum?
Gypsum, you'd use it in mortar for
What's
building.
What's mortar?
What's mortar? It's a mixture of gypsum and I think sand.
That doesn't answer a question. What's gypsum? You said mortar. What's mortar? Well, it's made of a bit of gypsum.
Hang on, we could do with some gypsum on this podcast. Some gyp rock. It's a product in Ireland.
Yeah.
It provides enhanced acoustic performance. You know, so you can use it to insulate sound.
Interesting.
Sorry. Gypsum is used in plaster, chalk, drywall, alabaster.
No, keep going.
On the Mohs scale of mineral hardness, it has a 2.
What? I had it actually written here as a 1, so I'm actually glad you told me that, because now I can update
No, you're thinking of the stacks on a 375 Kotatsu.
And that's the new 375.
That'd be the old one, it'd have one stack, and then the new
now,
one.
Now, I just have
stack.
A really quick question, just really, could you clear this up? How the fuck are we going to get back to the emus?
I don't know
from
how
this?
We're going to re-segue back into this. So this lady. Daenerys Targaryen was scrubbing brush one day.
This all started with two words, pushing scrub. That's
pushing
all that
scrub,
happened.
Excuse me.
And this is where we are, 5 minutes later.
Yeah. What can I say?
I feel stupider.
I feel I've learned. So you know what gypsum is now.
Well, it's made of mortar. Mortar's made of gypsum. So
there's no mortars. I was thinking of plaster. You know, you mix them both with water. What can I say?
You know so much, and yet... absolutely nothing.
That's the thing. See, I bought all of Ireland's supplies of gypsum, but then I left it all out in the rain.
See, you used up all the supplies of gypsum because nobody else knew what it was, and you got in.
I was the one man who had control over gypsum.
Smart.
It did away with me, Connor.
So the reason why they call Miss Byrne Daenerys Targaryen is because she had the 9 eggs and she wrapped them all in an electric blanket until they all hatched.
That's quite cute.
That they were emus. Sadly, only Kevin and Carol made it to adulthood, with truck and car collisions claiming most of their siblings' lives.
Could have done without that information. I mean, I guess it sets my mind at ease not knowing there's 7 other emus unaccounted for.
Why would you have to tell us the heartbreaking truth?
Because you could have just ended the sentence of like, only 2 survived to adulthood. Grand, I can work the rest out for myself.
But to really just absolutely opposite, like the contrast between that line and the next line, so it's trucks and cars claim most of their family's lives. They love cuddles, says Miss Byrne.
Do they now? Well, I'm not surprised after the loss of their families. Probably
they just need some comfort, really, at
just
this point.
Just a bit of love every now and again.
So the Iraqi emus achieve notoriety for their confidence around humans, and they now feature on a range of tourist merchandise. Unfortunately, their troublemaker tendencies came back to bite them with a ban from their beloved watering hole, eventually. I had to start buying them cartons of beers and getting takeaways for them, Miss Byrne jokes. Now, she says jokes there, so...
That's...
I'm not sure.
I'd hope it's a joke, otherwise. So she's saying because they're now banned from the bar, that they have to simulate the bar time experience at home.
Yeah. I think basically they're getting pissed at a field nowadays.
Jesus. What field? Yeah. What
few type? Cans down the slip.
Few cans of pies. Few tins with the fellas.
A few mortar with the lads.
A few rocks of gypsum with my homies.
I'm going to start inhaling some gypsum.
Oh, don't. It's very fine. It's very fine when it's powderized.
I've crushed it. That young boy up there, he's on the gypsum again.
Oh, next he'll be pushing scrub.
2. And how many... Sorry, just to go back to Bob. What's the engine we're looking at there?
On the 475.
I'm looking for a 475 engine if I was to look at it,
Yeah. So that's a... It's a... Hang on. Where the fuck was it? V12?
That's pretty good. Turbocharged.
V12. Don't know what... Hang on. Let me find the comment thread again. And so this one, it's the SAA 12D140 V12, of course.
Of course. Well, you don't have to tell me that. I'm just, for the listeners, just so they know what we're talking about. Because we're just two lads. We're two lads talking gypsum. You know that.
Bit of an update, by the way, 1 year ago. Damn, guy, you really need to squirt some WD-40 on those tracks. That metal-on-metal squeaking is going to ruin your tracks. And that'll be a good $1,000 to replace them. And then the original poster, whose name is RNR380, by the way, says, it's not my tractor. And that was over 10 years ago. So the tracks are probably well and truly worn out by now.
I love that the video was posted 11 years ago, and this guy's like, 6 months ago, this is the time to tell them. about a problem that they might have.
And the last one is like someone's on a high horse being like, oh, unbelievable. How come when we do it, it's woo-woo awesome, but when Indonesians do it to grow palm oil plantations, oh, it's no. Boo, thumbs down, save the orangutans. Oh, absolute no. Hypocrisy. The oh, original no. poster came back and said, we're only clearing a single cut for new fences.
That's what I like about the, what's the guy's name?
RNR380.
That big RNR, like, the main thing I love about him is that he cuts to the chase. He's not fucking yeah. about. Like, he's just telling you the truth, straight out.
He's real and real. Yeah. That's what RNR
says. I think he's a TikTok star now.
I think so, I hope so. Yeah. He deserves it. More Komatsu content, please.
So, apparently, the emus ban Sean, right? We're still on this because you keep interrupting with fucking Jepsum talk.
Sorry, did you not want to learn about various minerals this episode?
So, Miss Bird leaves Yuraka to work for a few months most years, and Kevin and Carol would traditionally run off into the wilderness until her return. After her last trip to Yamba in January, they didn't come back. So the emus would run away, they would come back whenever she came back. Right. But I've done some investigating, and I do know that they are still local. And one of them has 4 baby chicks now, and they're brother and sister, so we'll just leave that alone, says Miss Bird. We're not going to get into it.
No, please, Connor, explain that to me, because I don't understand that last point. How, if they're brother and sister, could there be 4
new babies?
What
they did was they started a load of Jepsum. Right.
All right, okay.
And they got on to the big R&R. They had a chat with him. They squirted a bit of WD-40. And Bob's your uncle, John's your aunt, you know what I mean?
Their uncle and aunt as well.
Yeah, well, actually, Kevin is both father and uncle.
I don't like it. I don't like it, Connor.
Tourists and locals will still love Kevin and Carol to come back for the township. But Sean, they now have children. They are growing up.
It's true.
They're going to return 6 people stronger with the 4 kids and the 2 of them. So that's 6. They're coming back. Sean, maybe this town will eventually be overrun because it's now 20 versus 6.
Yeah, that's not looking great. And if all those babies have babies with each other, that's I think, a million emus that you'd have to have. What if every family adopted an emu, though? Like, you just... and then it's,
but then they would conspire. They'd be like giving eyes to each other, like, today is the day.
Lad, they'd be like the Targaryens. Like, because think about Australia, right? The big emu war that they had.
Yeah.
Now there's no more emus. Except for now there's some emus. So whoever controls the emus controls the
And you're
the
saying
power.
This is the epicenter of that war.
I think that's where it starts. Or maybe that's where it ends, you know, finally, after all these years. Peace.
That's the emu stronghold. That you need to get to.
It's the last safe bastion of emu kind.
Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying. All I'm saying is...
Do you? Because I don't.
Those people will probably die. So we have... Sean, what I was going to do is I can move on, or we can then spend the rest of the episode going through Orador's whole YouTube videography and just reading comments.
Let me see if there's any other highlights just before we get
just
off.
Just give me a highlight, Sean. Give me a highlight reel. I'm very interested.
Okay, I think I might... Oh, no, I might have closed the tab. Oh, we'll never find him again, Connor.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, I found him again. You're grand. Hang on.
Well, there's a crazy verse.
We're going to go videos. Most popular. Of course it's the Komatsu 475.
Of course it is. Everyone's there for the Komatsu 475 shot.
Fuck, there's another video of the Komatsu. And then there's a D10... Oh, the D10N laying pipe. Here we go.
Oh, fuck. He's laying pipe all over
Show
the place.
Show me how
I'd
you lay
R&R.
Pipe, my friend.
R&R doing that, but laying pipe, I'd say, with this videography.
See, that's nice. It's fucking, it's digging up the trench in one go. It looks like it's putting in the pipe as well, boys. Any comments on this one? someone just comments depth.
I like the idea that they just always comment like a dimension. It's like length, pretty good. Width, pretty good.
Circumference. What does the layer assembly look like to tolerate this much horsepower? Then R&R. It's just a normal ripper laying pipe about 700 millimeters.
See, this is the thing, right? And look, our listeners, you might be here for weird news. This is what fascinates me and Sean is R&R. He's a people pleaser. You know what I mean? He's a showman.
Replies to so many comments, lads. You wouldn't believe it.
He's reading comments. He's getting back to it. His fan mail. People are coming to him, he's solving problems.
And look, interesting fact about this laying pipe, in some places he had to pre-rip the ground. He had to go over it first.
I genuinely don't know what that means, but I'm assuming it means dig.
You had to pre-rip, Connor. Don't pre-rip before you've de-ripped, you know?
The only pre-rip that I do be doing is with my Beyblade. That's
frowned upon in tournaments.
That is actually true. You have to wait till they shout "let it rip" in the competition rules.
Screening gypsum is his lowest viewed video, which I think is a fucking disgrace, quite frankly.
But you've given him a view. How many views does it have?
It has 1.3k. But that's no Komatsu 475, which is 996k.
I mean, that's the fucking main event. People have come there for a reason. I mean, it's got like two engines. Wait, no, it doesn't. It has one.
I'm not as good at talking about dozers as I thought I was.
You're not good at any of this.
Then 9 months ago, someone posted a video on his community tab, and it's like a Russian warship being towed by a tractor, but the tractor's like in the sea. It's a funny. For tractor enjoyers, it's a really funny meme. And that has 24,000 likes.
Fuck. 24,000 likes?
Yeah.
How many views?
It's a picture, I don't know.
It's
24,000 likes.
We'll never get 24,000 likes. The fucking picture's getting 24,000 likes.
Like and review on whatever podcast platform you're listening
on. Guys, seriously, we're up against this picture now, right? This picture is not even doing anything. It's just
there.
It's
fucking common for us, you know, with this picture.
Sick. I can't believe a picture has 24,000 likes, Sean. That's after rattling me. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm rattled.
Do you know what I can't believe?
Go on.
We're half an hour into the show.
And it's somehow we've only done one story. And I don't want to blame
anyone. One story and not even that, really.
But you, it's your fault.
You're encouraging me.
You
told me before the show, Sean, go full mental.
Sean, have you ever heard of gypsum? I want to know more.
My ears prick up. It's like a dog whistle.
Sean, we're moving on to our next piece of news. And this is 13 strangers go viral for renting a van, driving 10 plus hours together after flight cancellation.
Oh, this is like a Christmas movie in the making.
That's what I was thinking. It sounds like the beginning of a movie. After a flight cancellation left passengers stranded in Orlando, a ragtag group of 13 came together to drive a rented van more than 10 hours north to their final destination. Sean, how is this not a movie, first of all?
That's like... indomitable human spirit kind of thing. So it would be very easy to get the hotel or get another flight to your destination. But they thought, no, we'll have the crack. Were they the only 13 on the flight, or were they the only 13 who were willing to go and do this?
Willing. Sure. Right. Willing. So what happened
is... Right, so you're with a bunch of lunatics as well.
Oh, they're absolute crazy people. So you're going from Orlando to Knoxville, Tennessee, right? Their flight gets delayed once. They're still there in the airport for another few hours. Flight gets delayed again. They're still waiting in the airport for another few hours. Eventually, flight gets cancelled altogether. Flight's done. They were like, you can get on the next flight, which is Tuesday night, which is Sunday night, 48 hours before Tuesday night.
Okay, not the best solution then.
So they're like, we can't wait 2 days to go back. People have things to do. And also it's Sunday. I have work tomorrow. I kind of need to get back there now.
Yeah. And then people, I imagine there's a big group of people who are told this, and most of them filter away. But then there's like the 13 fucking members of the fellowship who just stay there.
And they all put in their sword.
Yeah, like there must be some other way.
Yeah, yeah. As people milled about in line and near the customer service centre, Miller says one woman named Amy took charge and shouted that anyone who wanted to try driving north to the final destination in a rented vehicle could join her.
This is some zombie movie stuff. It's just been like, there might be a safe house 10 hours north. Who's with me?
Now, Amy, I mean, very definitely not a millennial or a Gen Z. Nobody's jumping in, right? Like, you're waiting. That's definitely someone who's an older generation to be like, I'm taking charge here. Because if that was me, I'm like, head down. I'm just going to do nothing.
Yeah. Now, look, I would happily jump in the van.
Yeah, I'm happy enough to go ahead after you. But,
Amy, I want,
like, you're dying first. You're running through the door first if we're doing this.
Yeah. And, like how many... She must have been fairly confident she wouldn't get too many responses, you know? Because if like a whole flight of people were like, yeah, we're with you, Amy.
Also, if someone does that in the airport, you're kind of put off a little bit. You're like, there's something wrong with them.
They all have a shared fucking hatred for whatever. I'm going to say, I don't know, Delta? Is that a bad airline in America?
Yeah, let's go with Delta. I'm okay with that.
They all have like a shared vitriol for Delta at the minute.
Ryanair. Go with Ryanair.
Let's just say it's Ryanair. They do Orlando to Tennessee. Why not? now they're like, okay, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
High School Musical style. And so we just need to get out of it together. Is Amy the only one driving, though? Or can she drive? Otherwise, that's a bold plan.
I'm telling you that she can't drive. Can anyone drive? So, the line is super long. And so, then they yell over. This is Alana's story telling the story, Sean. Living up to her name. So, she says, the line was super long. I was like, I'm just going to let my mom handle it. So, she's just going to let the mother handle it.
Me and Lana on the same page here.
Absolutely. And so she yells over at me. This is the mother. And she's like, Alana, we're headed downstairs to get this into this van with all these people.
But Mom, every lesson you've ever taught me since I was a child.
But Alana, they've got so many sweets. They told me in the back of the car.
They filled up on snacks. They're going to bring us right home. They're friends.
They just need to take a detour through these dark alleyways.
So 13 strangers all gather together.
Yeah.
And rent, I assume, the biggest van in the world.
The goddamn biggest van in the world. And so they hit the road in the rented van. And the only reason we know this is because Alana goes...
Do we have a make and model of the van by any chance?
I don't have a make and model of the van.
What kind of horsepower are we talking?
So the only reason we know this is that Alana's story posts this to her TikTok about the surprising circumstances. Sean, it blows up. It goes mad, right?
One to do on TikTok.
She says, I post the video, and 30 minutes later, it's got hundreds of thousands of views. And then eventually, it's just them being like, how the fuck are we this famous? People in the van are refreshing my page the entire time. They're like, oh my gosh, we're at this many views. And they're reading comments out loud the whole time. I slept maybe max 20 minutes in the whole 10 hours.
Jesus, that's tough. But, if you're popping off that hard, you got to monitor it, you know? What if you get cancelled halfway through?
So, the unlikely crew, there's some guy in the back, saying really racist shit. Yeah.
So, well, I'm on the fence.
The unlikely crew included Alana, who works and lives in Knoxville, her mother and her godmother. A family taking their teen daughter on a college visit at the University of Tennessee, and two Mexico-based Europeans who became farmers.
I want to hear their story.
What's going on with them? That's fascinating.
How much scrub do they push, do you think?
So you're based in Mexico, but you're from Europe, but you're in Orlando flying to Knoxville.
Yeah. Farmers probably have a holiday during the Christmas, right? The harvest wouldn't be great. I don't know enough about farming and growing.
He knows
shit,
all
lads.
About gypsum. He doesn't know nothing about farming.
No, you can't. Look, you can't grow gypsum, I don't think.
That's true.
You know, unless you can.
So, Michaela Puckering, who's the student touring the university with her mother, made it on time. So, by the way, they're promoting all these people in the article because they all apparently have TikToks. I'm not doing that because I just think it's funnier not to. But the idea of the story, Sean, is that would you get in a car 13 people for 10 hours?
Am I on my own in this scenario?
Yes.
I probably would.
What if you're not on your own?
Then I would have to think about it. Because then I'm responsible for someone else.
Okay, so it's your brother and your mother. They're for some reason with you, stranded at an airport. We're getting in a car.
I mean, I actually
one shifty guy. He's like swinging a knife in between his fingers, and then they call him Knuckles.
Okay, well, Knuckles would be good for defense anyway. I think if there was other people, if it was me and my brother, we'd probably go. If it was me, my brother, and my mom, probably not. You know,
they're like, I'm willing to let the brother die. Like, he's not actually that great anyway. But the mother, she's taking things out on my brother
and putting them on me.
It just fell out of me, Sean. I don't even know what's happening.
Oh, I just feel even if we got into a scrape, it'd be, it's a story, do you know?
Yeah. What if you died?
Then win-win, you know?
It's either a story or I don't have any problems.
Yeah, it's not my... I don't have to worry about it.
Sorry, Mom. Sean, we're going to move on to our next piece of news. And this is only a small story that I found very funny in that people are always trying to get away with driving in the... what's the lane that you're driving with someone else?
Carpool lane?
Carpool lane, Sean. But I have a person sighted. We've had people try weird shit to try and get through the carpool lane. We had someone bring a skeleton a few times. But Sean, in Arizona this week, one person was cited for driving in a carpool lane with an inflatable Grinch in the car seat beside them.
Interesting. I mean, festive, I guess.
Festive season, yeah.
Definitely not a passenger, though, is it? It's an object.
Well, yeah, obviously. But I'm saying, isn't it strange that they went festive? You would go... You don't want to bring attention. Why would you go Grinch?
Were they also festive, though? Because if they were dressed as, like, Santa or
they were dressed as the Easter Bunny.
Right, well, that's just wrong,
it's
then.
It's just confusing. It's just, it doesn't know. They had a Hawaii shirt and shorts on.
Unless, if the costume party was themed around people who hate Christmas.
Oh.
Then the Grinch and the Easter Bunny are probably two very safe costumes.
They would beat
choices.
The shit out of Santa as well, man.
Oh yeah, they would destroy.
Did you watch Claus after our Saturday hangout?
The movie Claus. The movie Claus. No, I didn't watch it yet.
I've watched it since. Real good.
Is it good?
Yeah, real good. People, Jackson, one of our patrons, recommended it, and I was like, I'd seen that before, but I hadn't seen it in a few years. Went back. It's on Netflix now, guys. Go watch Klaus. Huh. It's only like 90 minutes long as well. Like it's.
Oh, wait, Klaus?
Yeah, Klaus.
Yes, Klaus I've seen. I know people that worked on Klaus. Klaus is unreal.
Do you know people that worked on Klaus?
Yeah, there's a big animation thing down the road. A lot of them work on Klaus.
Oh, man. What do they know about, like, Jepsum?
Well, it's the whole thing is done in 2D, but it's lit and shadowed to look 3D. It's wild.
Oh, man, people are way more talented than we will ever be.
We just know about gypsum and such.
Well, we don't even know about that.
It's in plaster, Connor.
We're moving on, Sean, to our next piece of news. And this was something that really caught my eye, and it was sent in to us by one of our patrons, Waffles. This was last week. And it was that scientists have revived an ancient zombie virus in Siberia.
Why the fuck do they do this?
So as the world warms up, Sean, vast trenches of permafrost are melting, releasing material that's been trapped in its icy grip for years, I think you'll find.
Yes.
This includes a slew of microbes that have lain dormant for hundreds of millennia in some cases. So, to study the emerging microbes, scientists have now received a number of these zombie viruses from a Siberian permafrost.
Okay, let me just put people's minds at ease, is that this article uses the term zombie virus to refer to a virus that is back from seemingly being dead?
Or a virus that causes public health damage and kills people.
Is that on the cards? Because we just did one of those.
Apparently the one that they found this week, or last week, was the oldest one ever found. It was 50,000 years old, which is a record for a frozen virus.
Wow.
Returning to a state capable of infecting others.
And what are the symptoms? Do we know?
The team behind the work, led by a microbiologist from the French National Centre for Scientific Research, says these reanimating viruses are potentially a significant threat to public health, Sean.
Okay. So just leave them in the frost until they're dead?
But if they take them out, then they can assess the danger. They can figure out what kind of threat they pose as they awake from their icy slumber.
Okay, but they're going to be careful about it, right? Because...
Oh no, I slipped!
It'd be real bad if they fell down the stairs holding a big basket full of viruses.
So the 48,500-year-old amoeba? Oh
amoeba?
No. Yeah, that's the one. Virus is actually one of 13 outlined in a new study, currently in preprint. With nine of them thought to be tens of thousands of years old, Sean. So they're bringing back old viruses into the public.
But, like, no one from 10,000 years ago is alive, so these viruses must be lethal.
Yeah, they must be so effective.
They're all dead.
It had a 100% success rate.
Everyone who ever got that virus is dead.
And every single person who didn't get it but was around people that had it are also dead.
It's the worst thing. But you know when you hear about, like, back in the day, and, like, they'd be like, oh, a plague came upon them. Surely that's one of these viruses, like, at some point.
Yeah, but also, then if you think about it, people back then had no immune system. So
that's true, whereas we've been licking doorknobs for years.
Unless they had more of an immune system because they were constantly eating dirt.
Well, this is the thing, is that you'd probably have a little shitty motorbike idling outside the house right now. But... you'd probably be less susceptible to, like, your coughs and colds and things like that.
Mm.
But then once something hits you, if it's able to get through, it's basically a dead sentence.
Yeah. There's two sides to it. One, why go near it? Just leave it. Two,
leave it where you found it.
Go and maybe you can go study it. So the situation would be much more disastrous if they left it, apparently. Well, they wrote, because obviously they're going to say that.
Yeah, because they're getting paid to do shit to it.
So it's legitimate to ponder the risk of the viral particle remaining infectious and getting back into circulation by thawing the ancient layers in front of it. So they're like, it's basically better to melt it and then study it rather than just leave it when it's frozen.
So they think pulling it out of the ground early and studying it and finding a solution to it before it's a problem, that's the way they're deciding to go
about
it.
That's the way, yeah.
Okay, that does make sense, all right. But why are you doing all 13 at once? Would you not do them one by one?
Because then it's easy to get confused. One might slip out. One might get infected into someone. And then like you have a little plot point. You have a little story.
The cure for one makes the other one a lot stronger. And then they all get scattered over the ground and it's this weird puzzle situation.
If anyone's ever played Resident Evil, it's this.
It's exactly this.
This is what's happened.
I mean, it's probably going to happen eventually, right? Isn't it? Like, would anyone be surprised... at this point, if they're like, yeah, look, we brought a virus back from 10,000 BC and now it's running rampant.
They come into the house, just get a shotgun. And it's like, what's going on? The virus got out again.
They're massive now. Turns out viruses were a lot bigger back in the day.
Sean, we're going to move on to our next piece of news. And I have a strange one from Florida Man. I have two Florida Man stories. One really caught my eye, but this one is just a small story, but just very Florida Man. Florida Man arrested for stealing $1,300 worth of electric toothbrushes, then throwing them away.
Okay, man works for an old school dentist. Electric toothbrushes are putting him out of business. Maybe
this is one of those stories. I was coming to you, Sean. What's Florida Man's thought process here?
What's he thinking?
What's he thinking? What's led to this life of crime that he's decided upon? So, a Florida man was arrested after he stole over $1,000 worth of electric toothbrushes from a pharmacy last week. The sheriff's office responded to the Walgreens after a man was caught walking into the store, grabbing nearly $1,400 worth of electric toothbrushes, and then merely exiting the store without paying, just walking out.
How many toothbrushes is that? How much is an electric toothbrush?
That's a good question. What price is an electric toothbrush these days? You get them for like $30, $40.
I don't know where you're buying your toothbrushes, my friend.
No, electric. Like not the shit ones, the good ones.
What are we talking? An Oral-B Pro 1650.
That's what
electric?
I'm talking. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we're looking at maybe £40 delivered here in Ireland.
If you go to the shop, let's say £30.
Christmas specials, Christmas deals, £30 for an electric toothbrush.
So £30, how many £30 do you need to get to $1,400?
To $1,400, let me fucking tell you right now, my friend. $1,400 divided by 30. You would need 46.6, so that's called 47 toothbrushes.
So he walked in and he stole 47 toothbrushes off the shelves.
That's it. Now, how much does one box of an electric toothbrush weigh?
This is what we need to work out.
There has to be, please, there has to be a weight on this somewhere.
I would say maybe, if I had to put a weight on it, 500 grams.
500 grams. So we're going to times this by 500, right? That's going to give us the
grammage. It's not a kg. It's definitely not a kg.
No, a toothbrush couldn't be a kilo. Nah, well, the charging stand, I suppose. Well, no.
We'll go 500 grams.
500 grams, easy to pick up. So that's... and then divide that by 1,000 to get it in kilograms, Connor. And this man stole 23 kilograms of toothbrushes.
Which, to be honest, not that bad.
It's not that bad, to be fair. But
so he then exits the store. The employees watched the man get into his white Lexus and calmly drive away after committing the crime.
Okay. Man can afford a Lexus, but not toothbrushes?
Well, how can you afford the toothbrushes? Because he's always stealing his toothbrushes. How can you afford the Lexus unless you're already stealing your toothbrushes?
Oh,
you're saving a fortune.
That's true. Mm-hmm. You're set for electric toothbrushes for the next couple of weeks.
Very clean molars. Deputies spotted the vehicle, but they waited for nearly 20 miles before approaching the driver. He just kept driving. They just kept following behind without starting the alarm. They just wanted to see where he was going.
Slow day in Florida, was it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. So he was stopped and pulled over. Moorfield, this is his name, Tracy J. Moorfield, admitted to stealing the items and told deputies... They asked him, what did you do with the toothbrushes? Because they weren't in the car. And then he said, well, I threw the stolen goods off the Long Quay Bridge. So he went into the shop. He stole $1,400 worth of electric toothbrushes. Then drove 20 miles. Then dropped them off a bridge. Because Florida man.
I have a theory.
Go for it. Because it's a mystery. I don't know.
It requires a little bit of foreknowledge, right? Have you ever seen Adam Sandler's film The Waterboy?
Yes.
There's a line in that says that alligators are so angry because they got all them teeth and no toothbrush.
Goddamn right there is.
I think Florida Man took that line to heart, felt really bad, wanted to calm down some alligators, and so decided to give them some toothbrushes so they could brush their teeth.
So he goes to the bridge and drops it in the water.
Yeah, because the toothbrushes aren't for humans. So that's why he's allowed to just take them. Alligators don't have to pay.
Your Honor.
there's a really good Mitch Hedberg joke, and it's Subway will give you free bread, but only if you're a duck.
Oh, fuck. You're right. Like
if a duck walks into Subway, you mean to tell me he's not leaving with free bread?
And what the bread they have isn't even bread. So like he's talking out with
not
like
by Irish standards, my friend. It is a cake.
Sean, I just wanted you to figure out what Florida Man's goal is here, because I've never heard of a crime where you go commit it, take $1,400 worth of goods, then immediately drive and then throw them in the river. Unless, of course, you want the toothbrushes to find homes in crocodiles and alligators.
I mean, it's all lining up, Connor, as far as I'm concerned.
I like the idea of that he tried to set up his own dentistry for them, but like upon the drive home, he was like, it's just never going to work. I had this idea earlier this morning, but it's ridiculous.
What if he is? He's trying to set up he's had one or two patients, right? And they're both alligators because it's an alligator dentist.
Yeah. And you know what he's saying every time they leave, just to let you know, but go on.
No, absolutely. Very good. But he was like, oh man, they're so aggressive. I can't get the patients to calm down. And then he was like, how do I make them less angry? And there's only one way to do that, as we all know. So now he's promoting good oral hygiene. They can still come in for their checkups, but they won't be as angry because they have their toothbrush.
I have, in my head, I have one of those ads for a toothbrush. You know that they always talk to like 5 out of 7 dentists agree. And they always have some fucking dentist that's like, I use it and I think it's fucking amazing. I just have one of them, but like the headshot just cuts and it's a fucking alligator. And it's just like roaring in the chair.
All of those ads are the same as well. Like they're all done at the weird fucking Dutch angle for
like
some
really
reason.
Weird for and it's always the shittest little background, just like, and they're like, yeah, I've had people use it and their teeth are better actually when they brush them.
Toothpaste needs a fucking branding update just in general. Just like get something a bit more hardcore. Get the Old Spice guys to do toothpaste ads.
Because they're always just like, it's got 3 layers. It's going to break down your
they
plaque
all
somehow.
They all do the same thing.
Is it whitening you're looking for? Good Brett? They all do the same. Our one has all of that.
What's your toothpaste of choice?
Oh, whatever's in the shop, Sean, at any given time. But I'm not going with Good Brett. I'm not happy with that. Like I want like a whitening one more so than a Good Brett one, a minty one.
See, the whitening ones are very aggressive, you know. There's a lot of grit in there, gypsum, some might say, polish off the teeth. I like a Sensodyne Repair and Protect myself. Tastes like shit, but it's good for your gums.
I'll tell you something now. You look like a Sensodyne man.
I do.
It's
really good for your gums. Yeah.
Fuck, I should get on that.
My gums are fucked because I grind my teeth a lot because I'm so stressed.
My teeth are falling out. Like, they haven't started, but I'm just assuming tomorrow's
the
day.
One of these days. Like those viruses that killed all the lads in the past. Eventually, all your teeth will fall out.
I just always assume tomorrow's the day that all my teeth will fall out. Just, it's better to think that than be surprised.
Do you know that scene in Game of Thrones where all the teeth come out?
Yeah.
That fucks
that's
me.
Yeah, that's me.
That's you. That's what's going to happen. that exact scene.
We're finishing off this week, Sean, with Florida woman claiming to be God from ancient Egypt attacks civilians and officers in Miami Beach.
I mean, who's to say she's not, you know? Sounds like a pretty Egyptian God move to me.
A woman who claimed to be a God from ancient Egypt was arrested on Sunday afternoon in Miami Beach after threatening random passers-by while slamming tables and throwing items, the authorities say. According to her arrest report, the first officer on the scene was Espinola Way at Washington Avenue.
Wait, that's the address?
Sorry, yeah, never mind. I thought that was somebody's name, Espinola Way.
Washington Avenue could be a name, I suppose.
I read it and I was like, those two names are fucked. And then I was like, wait, no, that's a place. Fair enough. That's on me, guys. They tried to take Emily Thomas Lockton of Boynton Beach into custody, but she became aggressive and hostile towards the officers, screaming, don't touch me, and slapping the officer's arm away. Oh, fuck. Good move.
Lads.
Strong move.
That's what they love. That's what they love. It's when you slap the arms away.
Police said the officer tried to then stun Lockton with his taser, but was unsuccessful, which implies to me that she's electric proof, so you're not going to get her.
That's true.
She's a rock type Pokemon.
Could be Horus, god of the sky, you know. That could be one of the ones.
Another officer tried to assist and dodged Lockton as she tried to hit him as well, authorities said. According to the arrest report, Lockton had, Sean, this is the good way, bit, unusual strength from what appeared to be an unknown substance.
could be Hathor, the goddess of drunkenness, Connor.
Or it could be someone who took a bunch of meth.
The jury's still out. Let's hear more evidence.
Police said it took multiple officers to even handcuff her, as they weren't even able to taser her, take her down. She was just unusually strengthened by something.
You know who this fucking sounds like?
Are you going to say another name of a random god that you've just googled? Yes.
Sekhmet, goddess of destruction.
Of course. Can I just ask you really quickly? Could you just look at me? What was the first god's name that you said?
I said Horus originally, god of the sky. One? The second one was, look, who can name all of the, was the Haptha, the god of drunkenness?
Well, you can name them all, apparently.
Well, you're being very like Mafdet, goddess of judgment, Connor.
It's always good when you have to say to God what they did afterwards. They're not going to get it if I just call them this. So apparently, according to the arrest report, the witnesses told officers that Lochtan had stopped her car in traffic and began screaming and slamming the hoods of random cars driving by. She then parked her car and walked over to the restaurant and began slamming tables. So that's how you know she's mad. Police said the manager of the restaurant told them he had asked Lochtan to leave, but she smacked his hand away and continued to slap tables.
She just wants to slap tables, is the thing.
Authorities said Lochtan was shouting during the entirety of the struggle to arrest her, claiming she was related to the late rapper Tupac.
So she could be who? God of spoken word, is what you're saying. I am ready to go.
No. You were going to fit that in no matter what I said.
Hoopak, more like it.
That's your best one so far. So she was not only related to Tupac, she was also a god from ancient Egypt who could take on all of us at once, is what she said.
So she did warn us, to be fair.
To be fair, she's like, I have unusual strength. I am a god from Egypt, just to let you know, I'm also related to Tupac.
So, whichever one of those is more impressive to you, go with that.
She was taken to the medical centre to be medically cleared before transported to the police station. She was arrested on multiple accounts and they did find meth in her.
I see. So you think Egyptian gods would fucking love meth, though? Just if they,
I'd say,
you know,
Egyptians would love meth. They'd be all over that shit.
They'd get so much done if they were just on meth.
Imagine like how many pyramids we'd
like
have.
Egyptians are still people.
Yeah, no, but like we're talking like back in the day.
Tutankhamun.
Yeah,
mad for meth.
Oh, if he was on that meth, man, he'd be living a good life.
He wouldn't have died at 19 or whatever he did.
Probably would have died at maybe 17. But like,
that's true. That's true.
He would have been. Like, had a better time for a shorter amount of time.
True. Mightn't have walked with that club foot he was born with. Do you know a load of random facts about Egypt as well?
No.
Or is that just... Okay. Oh, Jesus.
You don't clearly fucking know gods.
I know heaps of them. They're just...
What
Norse.
Was the second god you named?
That was Cathor, goddess of drunkenness.
Sean, I think that's it for this week's weird news.
What a week. Sorry I took half an hour at the start
half
to talk about diggers.
YouTube videos from now on, they're banned.
I wasn't recording. I'm joking. I get fucked.
You're the worst.
Listeners, the actual look on his face genuinely made me feel bad.
I mean, why? That's the worst joke you can make.
It's awful. And I'm going to have to say it for real one day.
You're like the god of fucking dickheads. You know what I mean?
Could I be the god of... I could be Set, god of deception, Connor.
Sean, god of fuck off.
Do you want me to take us out?
Yes, please.
Thanks everyone for listening to this episode of Weird News Wednesday. We'll be back on Friday with Hero Zero, Monday with Movie Mondays, and next Wednesday with another episode of Weird News Wednesdays. Big thank you to everyone over on Patreon who continues to support the show. They help us keep the show going every single month, week, day of the year, and we couldn't do it without them. So thanks very much. Shout outs, of course, go to Roisin the Wife Palmer, Joe Burney, Ryan Technically Fine Evanson. All Waffles Wants for Christmas is for you to listen to their podcast, Waffles and Mario Talk About Things. Very good podcast, I must say.
Yes.
David Clark, Sean Chuckin in the Wash and It'll Be Grand Jamieson, Dominic, Anna Irish Walrus Forever Helmoose, Danny McLaughlin, No One's Ever Really Gone, Luke Hoth, Lord Smish, Michelle Brown, Michaela Doughty, Buster, Ed Ball, Nathaniel Thistlewaite, Horatio Rowland, Bumfluff Jr. III, Connor and Lorraine have shortened this Patreon nickname. Russ, I feel this name lengthening has caused some tension, so I'm hoping to relieve that. Feel free to just call me Russ. Parfit and Jackson Bruheim. Thank you all. Thank you all for the support, for the long names and the short names.
You do actually deserve that, though, to be fair.
He's actually upset with me.
Wait till we get off, Mike. Wait till we get home, right? No, we're going to have words.
When your father hears about this. No, so if you want to support the show in other ways, there is a merch store, heroesforhire.ie/shop. Twitter is @heroesforhirepod. The 4 is the number 4. Facebook is Detective Dillon's Discussion Group. Instagram is Heroes for Hire Podcast. And the best way to ever help out the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
Just a one, please.
I think that's about it, Connor, my best friend.
I think it is my former best friend.
Oh, no!
My name is Connor Lawler. We'll talk y'all next week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.